Welcome to Along the Backbone, podcasts about the evolution of vertebrate anatomy. I'm Dr. Matt Bonin. The purpose of this podcast series is to explore the evolution of vertebrate anatomy from brains to bones across deep time. Episode 7, Hands Down, or Why Velociraptor Could Not Open Doors. In the science fiction story Jurassic Park, the predatory dinosaurs known as Velociraptor are able to use their hands and arms to open doors behind which delectable people hide. My students often ask me if this could actually happen, and more generally, how much I like Jurassic Park. My responses are no, and it was good science fiction. The ability to open doors depends on two things. One, being able to grip the door handle, and two, being able to rotate the hand so that the door handle turns. Let's focus first on point number two, namely the ability to rotate the hand. To talk about this in a clear way, we need to define some terms. In humans, there are two endpoint orientations the hand can take when rotated. When the hand is rotated palm side up, we call that supination. You can remember this by telling yourself that you can hold a bowl of soup when supinated. Lame, I know, but it works. Okay, when you rotate your hand about 180 degrees around so that the palm now faces down, that is called pronation. Remembering this is also easy. You pour out the soup when pronated. By the way, avoid trying this with a real bowl of soup. Most people assume that hand rotation has something to do with the wrist bones, but they only augment the rotation and they mostly help with flexion and extension of the hand. It's actually the ability of one of the bones in the forearm to rotate about the other that causes the hand to supinate or pronate on command. When you supinate your hand, the two bones in the forearm lie parallel to one another. When you pronate the hand, one of these bones rotates and crosses over the other, dragging the hand with it. These bones have names, and we should name them. First, supinate your hand. Good. Now, the forearm bone that lies on the outside of the forearm and lines up with the thumb when the hand is supinated is called the radius. The other bone, called the ulna, lines up with the fifth digit, or as many of us call it, the pinky finger. The ulna never rotates. Instead, it has a C-shaped end where it attaches at the elbow, and this restricts the ulna to hinge-like flexion and extension. However, the radius has a cup-like and circular end at the elbow that allows both the hinge-like movements of the ulna and rotation like the axle of a car. The radius bone is also bowed out in such a way that when it rotates about its axis, it can rotate about the ulna like you might swing around a post. Since the thumb and radius are interconnected through the wrist bones, as the wrist end of the radius rotates about the ulna, the thumb follows in turn. And since the thumb is part of the hand follows suit and is turned palm side down. It's pronated. We humans don't often appreciate how amazing it is to pronate and supinate so easily and through such a large range of motion. If you have a dog, its radius is permanently crossed over and flattened against its ulna so that its hands, what you might call the forepaws, are always pronated. This works for doggy life because it keeps their hands flexing against the ground in the same direction as their feet, and so allows them to walk and run well. Cats have somewhat more movement. Their radius is slightly more bowed out than a dog's, and it can rotate to where the hand, forepaw, is facing palm side in. Your cat batting a toy gives a good idea of what this palms in position is like. If a cat or dog wants their hand to completely supinate, well, they're either completely out of luck, or they must contort their arm and shoulder joints into mechanically unstable orientations. Before we go too much further, remember that condition number one for opening doors was being able to grasp objects with our hands. We humans do this well because we have a strong, opposable thumb with a specialized joint and well-developed muscles. Our fingers are also naturally flexed and curved so that grasping is easier than letting go. We inherited the basics of our hand from our primate ancestors, which were arboreal apes. Many primates are arboreal, living their lives in and around trees, and having hands that can grasp branches is great for many reasons, not least of which is preventing falls. Now, add to this active and substantial hand pronation and supination that allows arboreal primates to swing through trees, quickly grabbing branches, and you better appreciate what you have inherited. So what about Velociraptor? Well, the two living groups of vertebrates related to Velociraptor and other dinosaurs, namely crocodilians and birds, evolved from ground-dwelling reptiles. In both the crocodilian and bird lines, the radius and ulna cannot and do not rotate in any substantial way. Instead, both bones actually bow away from each other to some degree, and the head of the radius is oval or triangular, a poor shape for long axis rotation. Unlike us, the radius can slide up and down like a piston in relation to the ulna, and this acts to deflect the hand so that it bends towards the outside of the wrist. In crocodilians, this motion of the hand helps to orient it forward and palm down, pronated, when these animals walk with their sprawled limbs. In birds, this motion of the hand acts to change the outer angle and shape of the wing during flight. A specialized wrist bone in birds fits snugly over the ends of the radius and ulna that looks like a crescent moon inside profile. The shape of the semilunate wrist bone, as it's called, allows sideways deflection of the hand but prevents much flexion and extension. Overall, a bird hand is held out to the side or faces palm side in but can't be supinated or pronated like that of a human. Velociraptor has a wrist nearly identical to that of a bird, and as such its hands have no choice but to face palm side inwards or deflect sideways. Moreover, the radius and ulna of a velociraptor, or most any dinosaur for that matter, bow away from each other to some degree, and the head of the radius is anything but circular and cup-shaped. And grasping is pretty much out of the question. Sure, the three fingers on a velociraptor hand are recurved like those of a cat and probably acted as grappling hooks to ensnare prey. In fact, with inwardly facing hands, these claws would be in an ideal position to catch a would-be victim. But none of these traits would allow them to open doors because a velociraptor could not grasp or turn the door handle. So perhaps the lesson in all of this is that the safest place to hide from a velociraptor attack would be, well, behind a door. Then again, since the real velociraptor was only the size of a typical dog and had a brain that rivaled the vast intellect of a turkey, a good shout or stomping of the feet might be enough to keep them at bay. Then again, I'm not willing to volunteer for that experiment. Dr. Matthew Bonin is a vertebrate paleontologist and a functional morphologist who specializes in the evolutionary anatomy of dinosaurs. He teaches embryology, comparative anatomy, and other courses in his current position as professor at Western Illinois University. You can find out about upcoming episodes of Along the Backbone on Dr. Bonin's Along the Backbone blog, alongthebackbone.wordpress.com, and you can also follow Dr. Bonin on Twitter at @MattBonin. Thanks for listening.